Enter, if you dare.
Once again to Dark Discussion Show, a place for discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's you?
As well.
That's right. I changed it up a little. I usually go, Eric, how are you doing? Or how's everything going? Either way, it's all good. And in the the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
I'm fine, Phil. How be thee?
I'm doing all right. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
Well.
Excellent. And tonight is our Christmas special episode. So we'll get into all that later. But before we do, who we are, for folks who are new to the podcast and who just found us, we are Dark Discussions Podcast, which is part of the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. It's the original podcast of the network, and there's about 8 to 10 other podcasts on the network, plus news articles, release notices, videos, all sorts of stuff are out by the time people hear this. Eric's Alien YouTube review will be on the website as well tonight. Yes, best film ever, as is tonight's film. December 9th, 2021 is when we're recording this, for folks who are curious, because some listeners like Pam are always curious, because sometimes we don't release our episodes right after we record them. However, this week we will. This episode will be released on the week of the 19th. I think that's the 19th, whatever. Let me see here. The 19th, that's right, yes, for our Christmas special. For folks who are curious about this podcast, besides the news network itself, this podcast has been around for almost 12 years and over 500 and something episodes now. Basically, we discuss genre films, so horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, cult films, midnight movies, foreign language films, and such. Basically, we try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. We also have an email called darkdiscussions@aol.com, or just press the contact us link on the menu on darkdiscussions.com and email us, and we will read your email on the podcast. We also have other things on the darkdiscussions.com website. And what are those, Eric? What is that?
Well, one of them is a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that allows you to financially contribute to your online artists like us. Producing this show is not free, so we would appreciate your help in offsetting the cost of producing this show. You can follow the Patreon badge on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
Excellent, and we appreciate any money that are...
Well, give us your money!
Any donations?
Do it now!
Yes, any donations would be great, because we do have around at least $500 a year, it seems, with the URL, the hosting site.
Bill's kids aren't going to be able to go to college unless you start donating.
That's right. But
we need lunch ladies, too.
Well, you know what? Based off of the DNA test my sister took, we're at least 70% Iberian, which is could be considered Latino. So maybe we can get into college for free. Yeah, we can get into college free. Get my kids in. I'll just say, yeah, we're Latinos, even though we're
not. No, you say you're Ibenix.
Yes, that's right. I'll say with the X. That's right. So Ibenix. That's what we are. So we'll get into college for free. That's my goal. So for anybody who doesn't care about that, we'll move on. Have our Christmas special episode again tonight, and I guess we can get into that if we have time. After, we will go into news and what we've been watching that may interest folks who listen to this podcast, including I have some notes on Resident Evil Village, the video game. But either way, Eric, why don't we introduce our topic tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about the movie that came out last year, starring Mel Gibson and Walton Goggins, called Fat Man.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've lost my influence. Maybe it's time I retired the coat.
still have it.
Some kids with a deer rifle put two holes in the sleigh, one in me. All I have is a loathing for a world that's forgotten.
The United States military would like to procure your services.
This is a one-time deal, gentlemen. How are you, Mike? Nicole and the kids are well, I hope.
Where are you?
What's the job?
I'd like you to kill Santa Claus.
I'm looking for the fat man.
You can't be serious.
This is what people actually think of me. Christmas is a farce. I am a joke.
What's the purpose of your visit?
Hunting. I'm going to kill some things.
There is a rising number of our youth making poor decisions.
What the big man's head?
Severed heads rot. They mold.
They don't want his beard.
I'm not shaving off a dead man's beard.
Your workers sure have healthy appetites.
That's why elves live much longer than humans.
And Chris, he does the same?
No, it's a giving that keeps him young.
I've come for your head, fat man!
Dashing through the snow, no one horse open, sir.
You think you're the first?
Oh,
think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly?
Nothing all the way. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a bike, hoist, hope, and sleigh.
I'll come while you sleep. The fat man's got his eye on you, kid.
Hey, whoa.
Oh, that's Donner. Lucky it wasn't Blitz or should tear your package clean off.
That's right. Fat Man is a 2020 film that came out November 13th. It came out everywhere. It's directed by two brothers, Esham Nelms and Ian Nelms, also written by both. The film stars Mel Gibson and Walton Goggins, among a handful of other folk, but those are the two big names. The film... didn't gross that much money because it was one of the unfortunate films that got killed by COVID and didn't get a true release except for VOD. The film is another example of why critics suck, because the critics give it 45% out of 114 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, while the audience give it 84%, demonstrating once again how critics are now pretty much lost, like most media in today's modern society. So I guess we can get into how we heard about this film and what we thought about it, and we'll start with you, Barrett.
All right. I really like Fat Man. I think it's a great film. It has some great lines in it. I think the acting is good. It's just an enjoyable, non-traditional Christmas movie.
And how did you hear about this film?
I had seen it a while back because I had seen previews for it and wanted to see the movie. And so we rented it, I think, earlier this year. I can't remember when it came out exactly, but yeah, watched it with my wife earlier this year. And then we watched it again for this podcast.
All right. Sounds good. Mike.
I had not heard about it. Didn't know it was coming out. Didn't know Mel Gibson had made anything. And then I was told... we had to watch this because it's the best film ever. And then some idiot said that it's the best film ever, right up there with Alien, which no, it's not. That's just way, way too high of an expectation to be placing on any film. That said, it's a good film. It's a fun film. It's a good one to put on when the family's over for the holidays.
All right, sounds good.
That'll get them all to leave early.
Fair enough. And Eric, what about yourself?
I don't remember exactly how I heard about this film, but I remember last January texting with Phil, was going nuts about it, going, we got to do an episode on it. I was just like, dude, it would be stupid to do a movie about Santa in January. Let's just wait till next Christmas.
Now I understand completely.
So, I like this movie. It's very entertaining. I think one of the things that makes this movie work so well is that everybody in it plays completely straight. I have a feeling if people were trying to do like Three Stooges shenanigans in this movie, it would not work. The fact that everybody is delivering their lines seriously, even though some of these situations are humorous in nature, dark humor, but humorous nonetheless, really makes this movie work on a level that it has no right to, honestly. The premise is pretty silly, but the movie is very entertaining, so I would recommend it.
All right, sounds good. For me, I heard about it because Leo Pond, the host of Indie, at the time it was called Indie, now it's called Creator Spotlight Podcast, which is on Monday nights, part of the Dorkening Podcast, which I am one of the co-hosts of that show. He said, Phil, this is the film we're doing. And this was back in October, and it's like, Fat Man, what the hell? So I didn't know who starred in it. I didn't even know it was a Mel Gibson film. I didn't know Walter Goggins was in it. I didn't know nothing about it. I just said, this sucks. So he gave me the screener for it. So I watched the screener, and I said, holy shit, this is Mel Gibson. This is a real film. And this film is the best film ever. It is awesome. It's the best Christmas film I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the best.
Phil's not prone to hyperbole.
Yeah, just a little. The film was incredible. Walter Goggins is the best in this
Walton
film.
Walton Goggins.
That's right, right. Walton Goggins. He's unbelievable in this film. Mel Gibson is awesome, too. I oddly got to see the film even before it came out, again, in October, because on that podcast we interviewed the directors, which are the brothers Esham Nelms and Ian Nelms, and I was a fanboy the entire time when I was interviewing him, saying, this is the best film ever! So, this film is unbelievable. It's so good. It's so, so good.
So how did two directors we've never heard of end up directing a movie with Mel Gibson and Walton Goggins?
I have no idea.
That's a really good question.
Why did you get that? Huh?
I may have, or we did ask, but it's like been over a year and 2 months since I interviewed him, so I forget. So I'd have to go back and watch
that episode.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really good question, Mike, because it's like, yeah, I mean, prior to this, they really just did like shorts and stuff. I don't know. They have good agents, I guess. And I haven't done anything since, to my knowledge. That was it. That was the last film. So that's how I heard about the film, was because Leo told me to watch it. And then I just went all crazy and said, Eric, you got to see this. It's the best.
Which caused me to not watch it for another 3 months.
Yeah, sorry.
Because when you get like that, it makes me want to do the opposite.
I don't know why. You just said it.
Because Phil, general stubborn streak.
No, I think it's a general thing. I think in human beings is that when, like, you give somebody, like, you put a bowl of ice cream in front of somebody, they're gonna try to eat it. But if you could try to take their head and shove it into the bowl,
yeah, it's partly Phil, right? It's that excitement.
They're gonna push back on you.
Yeah, it's that excitement level you bring, Phil. If you came in it like a little lighter touched.
Yeah, if you came in at like 7 out of 10 instead of 15 out of 10, it would probably work a little better.
Yeah, you can't be like the teenage boy in the backseat of the car. It's like, but it's awesome! Yeah. Play cool.
Right. Yeah. I should be a little more coy about it or something.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're learning. You're living.
Yeah, but it was exciting. The movie was like so fun. So I just got all excited. It made life good.
Happy about it.
I wish I could get that excited about movies.
Yeah, I don't get that excited about anything anymore.
Yeah. Why? Because we're old.
I'm just kind of sitting around waiting to die.
Oh,
Jeez. You're fat, man.
Actually, I'm just waiting.
What else am I going to expect? Something good to happen?
I'm the oldest one here. I should be Eric feeling that way, point. Not yeah. you.
I mean, Barrett has to text me the other day saying, Phil, you were wrong. It ain't going to be China invading Taiwan. It's going to be Russia invading Ukraine. It's like, God damn it, Barrett. You have to fucking ruin my year.
Hey, I just wanted to help you out and let you know which one it was going to be.
It's going to be both because China's then going to take over Taiwan at the same time. And it's
Barrett,
all over.
What have you done?
He ruined my life is what he did. Anyway.
Yeah, there's somebody down in some sub-basement, like cabin in the woods with all geopolitical crises on it. We've got Ukraine during a pandemic.
It's kind of like the control room in Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. So if you live in Taiwan or the Ukraine, you're probably not too happy right now. Actually everywhere, because I already told people we're dead within the next 6 months from nukes.
Anyway, about tonight's topic.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. All right. So,
God damn it. Never mention that again.
Anyway, let's get into our wiki, Eric.
Wiki. A rowdy, unorthodox Santa Claus is fighting to save his declining business. Meanwhile, Billy, a neglected and precocious 12-year-old, hires a hitman to kill Santa after receiving a lump of coal in his stocking.
All right. That's good. I like it.
It's okay, except inaccurate. The lump of coal was in a box.
I also, I don't, I, you know, I mean, I would have just said Santa. I wouldn't have gave the adjectives.
It is a depiction of Santa Claus I have not seen before.
There are also, it's also fat, false advertising too, because there is no fat man in the film. Because Santa, I mean, Mel Gibson isn't fat. He's pretty, you know, pretty well.
You can't tell by the clothes he's wearing in this movie.
Yeah, but he's not really fat. I mean, that's not.
What's wrong with
this? This is one of the fat people.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fat people at all. I'm just saying that
I'm a fat Mel person. Gibson, why do you hate me?
Mel Gibson wasn't.
This is one of the skinniest Santas I've ever seen on screen. I'll put it that way.
That could be.
Right. This isn't like Tim Allen where they gave him a double chin to play in the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right.
Eric, you have no excuse to complain about any of this because you have Dan. Who
I do.
Dan will give you free.
To make your life difficult.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so let's get into you a little bit about what we do here at Dark Discussions for folks who are new or even those who aren't
we
new.
We fuck around with Phil.
We'll restate what we do here, which is basically we not only review films, we critique and dissect. So at a point shortly, we will throw up a spoiler alert, warning you that we will go into specific details on anything and everything related to the film. But before the spoiler alert, we'll just talk about general things and such. All right. So I guess we can get into the general stuff. As a Christmas film, this is a Christmas film.
I guess.
It is, right?
I would kind of say this is like an anti-Christmas film, right? So it's in that it's a Christmas film in the way Die Hard's a Christmas film, or Gremlins is a Christmas film. It's right. Set during the holiday, right? And for some people, if that to you is what makes a Christmas film, then this is a Christmas film. But if you're a person who thinks of a Christmas film as like one of those Hallmark movies or something where you need to see like snow and jingle bells and warm, fuzzy feelings and sentimentality and
vomit inducing crap.
And that somewhere along the way, someone learns a lesson about the spirit of Christmas, which I guess technically happens here. But that's like not the end of the film. That's like the midpoint of the film. Then this is not that kind of a Christmas movie. This is a film, you know, like a, you know, maybe a Die Hard or Krampus. That's kind of a darker film. And it's definitely that. And it's a little on the violent side. And definitely not one to show to the kiddies. Even though what I do appreciate is that they really deal with like Santa as if Santa's real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I do kind of like that. It's like, well, what if there really was a real Santa? It's not like these movies where Santa's real, but for somehow that fact has escaped the entire world.
Right.
You know, people know Santa's real. People are aware Santa's real.
That's right. That's right. Actually, my 6-year-old would probably like this film, even though I wouldn't show it to her. She likes these type of weird films. But either way, yes, I would say Krampus was an excellent example. It takes place in Christmas, related to Christmas, a lot of Christmas stuff in it, but not the Hallmarky, warm, fuzzy Christmas stuff.
And I would even say that Krampus was way goofier than this movie.
Krampus was way more goofy? Or this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was straight, complete.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was takes place in the real world.
As straight as a hitman driving through Canada with a gerbil.
No, hamster.
The hamster. Okay, yeah. Fine. Yeah. I stand corrected. That's way more serious.
Well, and the thing is when I first watched this film, the first hour when I watched it back in October last year was I thought it was Arkansas because I thought AK was Arkansas, but that's supposed to be AR. So AK is actually Alaska. The reason I found out it was Alaska was because he goes, I have to travel across two international borders. Yes. Gotcha. So it is Alaska. Yes. So it's a interesting film for sure. Yeah, it's definitely a cult film in the making, maybe midnight movie kind of sort of, I would think. What do you think? Do you agree on that?
I mean, I think it'll find its audience eventually. Maybe this podcast will help.
Yeah, this will not be this is not going to be a mainstream audience. This is not
like Bad Santa. That's another good one.
Yeah, but Bad Santa at least got a theatrical release.
Well, this was supposed to, but COVID killed it.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately going to hurt its long-term prospects. This is not, we're getting to that time of year where you're going to see those discussions on social media or in the, what's your favorite holiday movie? This is not going to be on the list of the poll, right? Yeah, this is going to be one of the things you write at the bottom, other. And people are going to, what the hell is Fat Man?
That's a great title. Right. Yeah, I'd be the person to do that. I'd be right, other.
Yep.
Fat Man. Best film ever. Yeah. So yeah, it has some great lines in it. Eric quoted me one the other day when he texted me about the pet store in Canada. That was awesome. And then my favorite one is the Goggin scream. That was a great one. Best film ever. So yeah, a lot of good stuff in this film. And it, like Mike said, everybody plays it straight. The basement scene when the kid and Goggins and the girl are there and the John Gotti thing. It's kind of funny. It's good stuff.
Well, and the only thing that bugged me a little bit in this movie was the kid's performance. And I don't know if it's just my expectations are off because he's acting next to Mel Gibson and Walton Goggins.
It may be unfair
expectations
job.
On my part.
Yeah, I thought he did a pretty good job. I liked it, actually. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, he's a kid, right? And he's playing.
He's
kind of playing an adult, where So I see what Eric's saying, but I would concur with you, Barrett. I thought he was fine. Yeah, I mean, he was cast. Stinker.
There's something about the kid I find weird. I don't know what it is I'm not saying it's a bad performance. It's just like something feels off about the kid, but probably it should, given. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate his dedication to the science fair.
But he should have won, to be honest.
Yeah, he should have won.
His project was
the fix was in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I also do wonder,
if he'd done it himself, he should have won.
Right. That's
yeah, but nice. They didn't know that. He was just taking use of available resources.
That's right.
When you have the resources, why not use them?
And this is why we know Barrett and Phil are not to be trusted.
No, I'm just being facetious.
I'm not.
fair enough. Well, the whole world's corrupt anyway, so who gives a rat's ass?
Yeah, just a word of advice, folks. If you don't do volcanoes and solar systems. They're so out.
Yeah,
old hat.
Yeah, old hat. Exactly. You got to go.
New. You got to go with the robotics stuff. The robot overlords, right, Eric?
Yes. I welcome our robot overlords.
Indeed, indeed. So that's what we should do. Yeah. So I actually felt kind of, I liked Gargan's character. I felt sorry for him. I mean, it, you know, the twist at the end, why he's upset, it's legit.
Why?
No.
Because he got cigarettes.
Well, we'll
talk
about it after spoiler flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he rolled craps on life. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, but you still have decisions to make as an adult, and once you start making them, if you go bad, vengeance. You go bad.
I don't call him bad. I call him vengeance. Vengeance.
No,
yeah,
he's bad.
I mean,
he kills people for money.
Yeah,
I'm okay with
the
it.
People who deserve to be killed.
Yeah, that's subjective.
Like little girls.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
and post office workers.
Exactly. Like, yeah, there you go. So there's that.
Okay, I guess we're not doing a spoiler flag.
Well, we'll do the spoiler flag, but yeah.
Which,
a hitman is a hitman.
He's a hitman. He kills people.
Yeah, we're not spoiling it.
You didn't all actually right, kill a little girl.
No,
true.
He did not.
Yeah.
Well,
what was the dog's name again? I forget, but that was a great line.
Dog. Well,
he goes, what,
oh, yeah. Mr. like Jelly Bean, Jelly something.
Yeah, Mr. Jelly Beans or something like that. He goes, and then Gargan's playing it straight. And also Mr. Jelly Beans. Or whatever.
Meanwhile, the kid is doing the electrical things. He's doing those electrical sparks.
Yes! That was awesome. It was like the mafia. I can see Sean Gotti there saying, so coming in there.
So insert a spoiler flag like 5 minutes ago, Phil.
Spoilers.
All right. So let's just throw up the spoiler. Basically, I'll just give a little quick synopsis. It's a little better. The IMDb kind of said it, which is there's a kid from a very wealthy family who's a brat, a stinker, sociopath, who decides to hire a hitman to take out Santa because Santa gave him coal because he's a bad kid. He threatens little girls and stuff. So basically, that's the story. The hitman has to go find Santa, does research like any professional would, and then there's a big scene at the end, and we'll get into all that. So yeah.
Oh, and Santa's running out of money.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like, even though that's what they focus on in the synopsis, like most of the movie is just like the story of what's happening to Santa.
Yeah, he's out of money and he can't afford to give.
Santa's
toys
not
out.
Having a great time.
I don't know why he's running out of money, because, like he says, 50% of the kids are getting coal now anyway.
Well, so because they say at the beginning of the film that he's getting paid on the amount of toys he disperses.
Right.
All right.
And since he's not giving – and because kids are doing shit like dropping bowling balls off of bridges, he is not giving away as many toys as he once did. And therefore, he's not getting the money he used to get.
Yeah, he has a contract.
Yeah, that scares me. That's like one of my OCDs, like bears, is some punk kid throwing rocks or something off a bridge or on the side of the road while you're driving on the highway.
I used to do that shit.
Yeah, that is another phobia, like bears. Bears is in B-E-A-R, not bears is in B-E-E.
It's hard to tell with you Bostonians.
Or bears is in B-A-R-E-S, which is a whole
yeah. My wife always corrects me because I always talk about bears because I'm always like freaking out about bears. And I drink IPAs and all that. So she always has to correct me because I always say bears and bears and bears.
That sounds the same.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you just said.
Yeah.
It's not going to lie.
Yeah, it's a Boston.
He's going to drink his beer and bear his ass.
Yeah, it's an accent thing. I don't know where they're from. There's the Zombie Girls podcast, and one of the girls there, when they're talking horror films, it's like, horror films? films with whores with whores in them. It's like,
yeah, horror.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference between whore and horror. It just, yeah, yeah, it's just weird. It's just accents are accents, but we know what Phil means.
Yes,
that's right. He likes to sit around on the porch with a big hairy with gay a man.
With a bear and a whore.
And a beer in the back, and a beer in the back, yeah, too. Yeah. So anyway, all right. So that's pretty much it. Anything else we wanted to bring up prior to throwing up the spoiler alert? Anything general related to this? I do have this from Wikipedia, and of course it says. This is probably from the Rotten Tomatoes, the website's critics consensus, and not that that means anything because again they're way off.
We know you don't like critics.
Yeah, well, recently the past 2 years, yeah, I'm pretty much done with them. And with Mel Gibson being what we call out of favor by, canceled by specific critics, it you know makes sense that they would just
well shit on. He was more than canceled by progressive critics, so you know it was pretty much canceled by Hollywood. But yeah, I don't know if this is unpopular with critics because it's Mel Gibson, or if it's because it's like a very like kind of bitter, cynical Christmas film, and sometimes that really just rubs people the wrong way.
It's sensitive about Christmas.
It's kind of like the Joker. You know, that film where the critics hated that film too. And,
yeah.
You know, because it has that type of, like, feeling, you know. So, this is what it says here. It says, Fat Man takes a surprisingly serious approach to a potentially ludicrous twist on the Santa Claus legend, aiming for edgy but mostly missing the mark, which is ridiculous. Many audiences reviews complimented the film on its originality, so this is the audience side now, describing it as weird and fun. The cast, particularly Mel Gibson, was praised for delivering strong performances. A number of reviews cautioned against relying on professional critics' evaluations of this film. I would concur with that. However, I thought that was weird that Mel Gibson, which was quite good, but Walton Goggins is the man who steals this film, in my opinion.
Oh yeah,
Mel Gibson's pretty good.
Yeah, he does a good Santa, but they're different characters, so they're very. They both fit their roles very well.
Yeah, and I got to be honest. I mean,
Goggins is a great breakout character, but anyway,
I don't know about that because I like Walton Goggins a lot, but I think like if I'm like ranking my favorite performances on Walton Goggins, this is not like one of my top two or three because he is often so fucking good in everything else he does.
Well, so I was talking about this the other night, and I think that Walton Goggins has done his best work on television.
Yeah, I mean, he was great in The Shield. He was great on Justified. He was great in Sons of Anarchy.
Uh huh.
Right, but this is his best film performance, maybe.
Well, and the thing is, mostly when he's in a movie, he's not a leading man. He's a supporting player. So really, I mean, he usually gets something memorable to do, but he's usually doesn't get as much screen time as he does in this movie.
Right, like
he gets like more screen time than or equal when you think about it with the Gibson, wouldn't you say?
No, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's not. Close. I think he's probably the number two. I can't. I don't know that it's that.
Oh, he's absolutely number two. But
right. Well, obviously Santa Claus is going to get the most, but it seems like every other scene.
Exactly.
If Santa's not in a scene, he's in
Santa bias in the industry. I'm telling you. It's like no, we got to sell the Santa toys. We're gonna have the Santa with the gun, we're gonna have the Santa with the eye, toys.
I would definitely buy a Walter Goggins action figure from this film if there was a Jonathan Miller, the skinny man.
Who's the actor?
Walton.
Yes,
Walton.
I'll just call him Walt. Walt. It's a, you know, yeah, it's
Walt, right? Walt is good, right? Walt, that's fine. Yes.
So,
Walt Disney, Walt Goggins.
But yeah, I'm still surprised though that that little review I wrote there, they didn't say Walt got a high for grades either. They mentioned Mel, which is fine. But Walt was great. He was up.
He was hilarious in this, yes.
It was like Christopher Lloyd.
There are a lot of
Lloyd
things about this film I
future.
Really.
What?
It was like
I don't
Christopher
get that
Lloyd.
Comparison.
Like, no, it was like this unbelievable breakout character that's just awesome. I don't know. Just my opinion.
What was that? Sorry, Mike.
No, we liked it, Phil. It just, nobody likes it as much as you because you're being weirdo.
I'm saying the role is as good as like Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future.
Yeah,
yeah, you said that, and we
no, no, no. Barrett didn't hear. He had a cut.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was repairing. I'm repeating.
It's my fault again, Eric. I'm sorry.
You're just making this night more difficult than it has to be.
Well, this movie was so exciting for me. It was like
we realized this.
Yeah, yeah, so I gotta relax. I gotta take a breath.
Do you have an erection right now?
No.
Ooh, inquiring minds want to know.
No.
Speaking of bears.
Anyway, let's get into the film again. Any further things not spoilery that anybody wanted to bring up?
First viewing, I was very surprised at the level of violence in this movie. I was not expecting it. So it took me a little bit off guard.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, for me, like, I went in completely blind. I didn't see the trailer and stuff, and I just thought it was going to be some crappy indie film, because that's usually who you interview when you're on podcasts, is the indie film people, not, like, major. And so I didn't know what to expect, but, yeah, I can understand otherwise. It was very extremely violent, and, again, it was all straight, played straight completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I really liked the elves. I thought they were done well. I don't know if that went through earlier when I said that. I thought they were just perfect.
Yeah, I like the soldiers, too. The soldiers played it really good. They played
it was
straight.
A perfect. Yeah, it was perfect.
That's what I was talking about. Everybody was like, they weren't being goofy. Like, there's a point in the movie when it becomes clear that in order to also, sorry, I just distracted myself. There was a line I caught this time that I didn't catch on the first viewing. It's when Santa's trying to drum up business. He's like cold calling people.
Okay.
And he's talking to somebody. At the end of the call, he goes, "All right, well, call me if you change your mind, Elon."
Yeah. Oh my god, that's awesome! I didn't catch that.
That's awesome. Totally missed it on first viewing.
And the fact that he makes a contract with the military to make military stuff is just—I found that hilarious.
Well, and that's where I was going originally before I distracted myself. Is that there's that scene when Santa tells the elves what's going to happen, and it is played as a downright tragedy. Right. Nobody's being goofy about it. Everybody's dead serious. And Mel Gibson's acting like it's the end of the world. And I really appreciated the severity with which that whole scene was played.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
Even
right.
down to the one soldier that gets shot in the throat and the general is like trying to keep him from dying.
Right. What about when he's talking to the elf and they're eating lunch, and he goes, "You guys should eat more protein." And elves going, "Yeah, but what about sleeping?
We're elves.
We just need 20 minutes." He goes, that was awesome. And then, then talking about, can we use your rec room or for our headquarters? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just everything was.
And the military just loves the elves because they're just so regimented and get shit done.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I've seen people talk about like, try doing Santa kind of stories in the past with this, where the military was always after Santa for his intelligence capabilities.
Right.
Right. You know, for his ability to get in anywhere, for him to spy on anybody.
Knowing information.
Right. So the idea, I thought that this was a brilliant take on it. was the being interested in Santa, not for his military stuff, but for not for his intelligence, but for his manufacturing ability. I was like, right. Wow, all right, I never thought of it that way. Holy shit, yeah, that's fucking brilliant, yeah.
Well, and the one elf takes a bomb apart like it's a toy, which is, yep. I just love that.
That was awesome.
I also enjoyed how he doesn't need his list. He just stops in a bar and sees that dude about to hook up with the bartender and cheat on his wife. He's just like,
oh, that's right.
Hey, Mike, how are Michelle and the kids? And the guy's like, who the fuck are you?
Do I know?
If you leave now, you can make it in time for dinner.
There was when Mrs. Claus says he takes the list, and she goes, "Have you checked it?" That's why, you know, it's like, oh my god, no, I don't need to do it. It's like these little inside,
right? And Santa and Mrs. Claus are an interracial couple.
Yeah,
don't know if that's been depicted on screen before.
They've done interracial couples on screen before.
I meant Santa Claus specifically.
And I liked how they showed their relationship. It was pretty good.
Yeah. They seem to be a really good married couple.
Yep.
A good wife, man.
Yep.
Making cookies all the time.
Her name's Rose, too, right? Which, is that the real Mrs. Claus's first name? I never knew that.
There is no real Mrs. Claus, though.
No. But in the
fucking communist.
In the little... Yeah, you know, the mythos, you know, the Santa mythos. Is it Rose? I don't know. But I don't know that there is
generally referred to as Mrs. Claus. I don't know if she has a designated
person. She's not important enough to get, like, full billing. She just gets Mrs. Claus.
She's a supporting character.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, and the elves, their names and numbers. We retire the numbers, you know. Like,
yeah, what happened to 1 through... No, you don't talk. We don't retire. We don't reuse numbers. 1 through 6.
That's right. When Steve Young's number gets retired, it's retired. That's it. So, yeah, rest in peace. You're right. Yeah. Oh, and their diet is all like crap, and that's the reason... And we only sleep 20 minutes. That's the reason why we live much longer than humans. It's like, damn. If that was true, right? Eating crap. That'd be awesome. Let's see, anything else that we want to discuss? The movie is very pro-animal. That's right. Hamsters get full bill. I was actually, when I first watched this film, I was like devastated at the end. Like, oh my god, is the hamster going to die? It's left in the car. Is it dead? And then we see it at the end. It's like, oh, thank god. They had the right, they tied up things quite well.
Yeah.
I think I even mentioned that to the directors when I talked to them.
There was something else I was going to say. What was it? Oh, well, I'll remember it later.
I came for your head, fat man!
No, it wasn't that.
Then it was the other quote you have here. Let me see here. That was
a great quote. When he's in the pastor, and the woman in the pastor... he's like, I don't see you as a hamster person. I see you as a lizard person. How about an iguana? And he's like, I don't want an iguana.
You remind me.
And she's like, well, how about a snake? And he just looks at her. He goes, you remind me of my mother. She was a horrible listener, and she didn't know when to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he just chews scenery in this movie.
God gets rules. Rules. I was like, high five, and you know, like Richard Nixon with the peace symbols up when he's getting on the helicopter. It's like, yes, yes.
And Phil, you'll be happy to know that I watched this with Dan and Susie last weekend, and Dan said he likes this better than Krampus.
Yes, it's unbelievable. This is way better than Krampus, in my opinion. I'm right there with Dan. Dan's a good man. Dan sent me a video today or yesterday about. Working out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So did Walter, or whatever his name is, did he kill his parents?
Died. I thought that's why he was bitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. He was bitter because they were abusive parents.
Right.
So if I was him and he killed his parents, I'd have no problems with that. Anybody who takes cigarette butts and burns their children deserves to be dead.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm criticizing him for it, but I'm just wondering, because they do mention that his parents died early.
I don't think it's clearly stated, but it could be implied.
Right. And to be honest, I don't think it probably was, because I think Santa would have said something about it when they confronted each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know, because you do have the argument that it was a justified killing. As we all know, Santa seems to be pretty on board with killing fuckers who need to be killed.
Right.
That's fair.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Gargan's character was an antagonist only because of circumstance. And I know what you said, Barrett. I know what you said.
Well, not really. He's an antagonist because he's willing to do whatever a little shit says for money.
Well, that's true. He became a hitman, mm-hmm. so that's not explainable. Right. He was a bad guy.
We've all seen the Hollywood movies where they're the hitmen with a heart of gold, and they only kill people who need.
Yeah,
to
that
was kill.
This.
Like Dexter,
but he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that that excuse here. You know, when he's first thing he does is, you know, threaten to kill Mr. Jellybelly or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Jellybelly. I think it is Jellybelly. Yeah, but you know what though? I would say that Gargan's character would probably not be a hitman. I think he was a created psychopath and not born that way.
Oh, probably, but I mean, in the end, you're there. So
everything's nature and nurture too. So
it's
yeah.
I just watched Trading Places the other day.
Very good. But yeah, well, I would say that. He snapped, and you're right. So he obviously didn't have the mental strength of some people who can overcome these horrible, horrible situations. However, that's still.
But here's the thing: they don't give us the whole backstory. Because clearly he's obsessed with the idea of Santa. Because I guess at one point he got a toy from Santa, and then no longer got toys from Santa. Perhaps it was because he killed his parents and then kept on killing people.
And it was a police car, right?
It was a police car. Yep.
And for that, though.
What it was is I don't think it was because of that, because I don't think he got coal. What I think was is he kept on asking for something specific, and Santa's answers in this film, he says, that's something that was out of my power. I couldn't do it.
He couldn't bring his parents back. That's why I didn't think
he couldn't replace his parents. That's what he was asking for. He was writing letters to Santa saying, what I want for Christmas is new parents. And Santa said, he can't do that. That's out of his league. Because his parents, he wanted new parents because his parents were abusive and put cigarette butts out on him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Bert?
Yeah.
Jonathan Miller, you twisted child.
And I always thought you forgot about me. You remember this? This was the only goddamn thing you ever got me. After all the times that I wrote you,
I'm sorry, son. There are limits to what I can do. I couldn't replace your parents.
Yeah. You couldn't. Well, here we are. I've come for your head, fat man!
You think you're the first? You think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly?
Well, and notice, what was it, if my
It was a toy car, right? Was it a toy police car?
Yeah, it was a toy, like a Matchbox police car.
Okay, and so you notice the other times we see Santa give people gifts, right, within the flashbacks, he's giving gifts that kind of push them in the direction of where they're going to lead their life. So he was giving him a police car, I think.
Oh, you know, I didn't even pick up on that. That's a good point.
To get him to go into law enforcement, right, channel him in a, controversial positive statement here, into a good direction. You know, not to go, not to be one of the. I'm assuming Santa didn't want him to go to be one of those bad cops,
like just, Dexter just, getting to kill other serial killers.
So, yeah, I mean, so I did think that was a nice little touch.
He was hoping him to become the Dick and Jane and Spots cop that helps them cross the street type of person.
Yeah, or whatever, or you know, maybe catches the bad parents before the child has to murder them. But yeah, you could kind of see it, like especially if he'd gotten that gift after he'd killed his parents.
Well, again, we don't know if he killed his parents.
We don't. Yeah.
No, we don't. I'm just saying that's it. But it is a possibility within this universe.
It is.
Yeah, it could be, but all we know is that he sent letters to Santa that asked for new parents, and we also know that his parents were terrible people, and that his parents are dead now. So
right, and it's actually more than two, right? Because there was also the guy that was the baseball bat, right? So we know he tried becoming a professional athlete till he blew out his ACL or whatever it was that happened.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, and it was the little boy with the airplane, right? That he bought
right
in Canada.
And you see, I mean.
Sorry, I was just going to say, what I don't understand is why Goggins' character was so obsessed is the word I was going for there, obsessed with acquiring other toys made by Santa, that part of the equation.
I think it's simply because he didn't get gifts.
But I'm wondering, is he trying to, he enjoyed getting the guy to sell off his dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one too. Yeah,
and I think he just likes that. I think he's more. I mean, because of the Santa thing, but I think he just likes kind of crushing people's dreams, right? When people are letting go of their hopes.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a good call. Yeah.
One of those things that
his life is dark and horrible.
One of those things that those fucking critics can't pick up because
they suck
against these movies. Yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, you're right, Eric. He's very dark. But I think he was created that way because of who he was born, who his parents were.
Or just because the world's a horrible place.
That's true, too. Yeah. But the world could have been...
Merry Christmas!
But the world could have been good if he had better parents, or new parents, as he kept on asking Santa, and Santa said it was out of my control to be able to do that. You know, he can bring toys.
Oh, makes me wonder, so what if he... Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, so the cop car could have been a message. Like, maybe his parents weren't dead. He wanted to just replace his shitty parents with good parents. And he was just trying to tell them to go to the police.
Hmm.
That's, I'm good with that.
And maybe the failure to replace his parents. I mean, if you want to keep going through the dark, right? That's why he kills his parents, is because he can't get replacements.
Right. Well, and to be honest, being that old at that point, being thrown into a the orphanage system or whatever it's called,
foster care system.
The what is it?
Foster care.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you're never gonna have that normal life that I guess generally the rest of us had with parents, right? I assume we all had good parents, right? I mean, not all of us had parents that stayed together. I did, and I know you did, Mike. What about you, Barrett?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I know Eric, you
were... My parents got divorced when I was five. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, sorry. But generally, both your parents were still good parents, even if they were separated. So, you know, we were lucky enough not to have abusive parents, like I know some people that I know that did, or parents that just had mental illness is another example, or both. So, Yeah, I mean, I think, what was it? There was someone, I forget who said it, but there was this three things that you can luck into, and I think one of them is the country, the other is the social status, and the third is if you have good parents. And if you start with those three, you lucked out compared to most people.
Oh yeah, but there's the line by Louis C.K. where talking about like to his girls who were complaining about something, I don't remember what it was, and he's like, "You're little white girls in the United States of America in the 21st century. You've like hit the jackpot. I don't want to hear your complaining."
Right. Right. But you also have to have good parents too. If you don't have good parents, it doesn't matter what country you're in.
So. Depends on what your definition of good parents
is. Good, yeah.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
All things equal, if you have bad parents in a country that doesn't have as much, it's still going to be...
If you've got parents that burn you with cigars and then you have foster parents who don't, those are going to seem like good parents. They're locking you in the closet.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair point. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about loving parents, people that, try to... Like our parents, put it that way. I assume we can all say our parents were good people to us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, you can become damaged big time. And Walter Gargan's character became very damaged because of
shit parents.
Walton Gargan's. I'm assuming this is going to happen.
I'm sorry, it's just too much fun.
That's fair. All right, so let's start off the spoiler alert. And we'll talk about everything.
What are you talking about? That was an hour ago.
So we would talk about anything.
We pretty much talked about the whole movie already.
Didn't you? So the thing about the boy, the wealthy boy, is he's pissed that he lost the contest. So he hires Goggins to threaten this girl, and she has to lie and say I'm a cheater and all this other stuff that to basically forfeit her award, and then the second place kid would be him, and he would get it. And the way he pays off Goggins is he steals money from his wealthy grandmother because she's basically the person that's, I guess, bringing him up because his father never around, and the mother is. No one knows. She's not even mentioned.
Is she even mentioned?
No.
I don't think she is.
Yeah, she's not mentioned. So that kid technically is damaged too. So you could actually even argue that he's the little stinker he is, not just because he's born with a silver spoon privileged, but because he has a shitty father and no mother.
Well, I mean...
And his grandmother's not great either.
The money gives him the resources to do shitty things, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the grandmother, you're right, right? I mean, but again, yeah, I mean.
Let's also, I'm going to take a moment to defend the little shit turd for a second.
Isn't that Phil Chubb?
Yeah, kind of.
take that back. I don't defend all bad characters.
Just the ones who take shits in lockers. But, the kid's, like, got a shitty father, from what we can tell. We're sending him a teddy bear for Christmas, and this kid is way outside the teddy bear age. He's off somewhere with his mistress. Do we know what happened to his mom? Did mom die?
We don't know.
Mom a drunken crack whore? I mean, right. So... And he's getting his, his self-worth from these blue ribbons, right? That's how he's getting attention from and positive reinforcement from grandma.
Yep.
So, he's a little shit turd, but you can't, if you want to go back to that whole nature nurture thing, I think you could argue his, dad and grandma and maybe mom, we don't know enough about mom. Do kind of have a role in this too, right? Because they aren't exactly raising him well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, I mean, he would be probably more happy without the money and in the place of Jelly Belly's owner, the girl.
Right.
So with a normal family and happy and all that other stuff. You're right.
Right. So and little Jelly Belly girl, right? She's got a mom, and as far as we can tell from the conversation Walter Goggins has with her.
Walter Goggins is a good dad too. Yep.
Yeah, is that she's got, you know, parents and a nice home and a doggy, and there's all this other shit she gets that he doesn't. So, you know, the stuff that we would think of traditionally, you know, as a good life. Right?
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, you can make an argument for the kid. I mean, don't get me wrong. The kid's doing time. But, you know, maybe you can make the jury feel sorry for him.
Or maybe not, because Fat Man's going to keep an eye on him.
That's true.
Make sure he's not turning him in.
I wish he got killed, the little boy, by the end, because he was a bastard. But
wow.
Well, he wanted to kill people. He wanted to execute people. He wanted to kill Santa. He wanted to kill the girl if she said no, you're bringing yourself down
to his level, man.
Yeah. Eric, remember the beginning of the podcast when Phil hated the death penalty? killing small children was my shtick.
When you say the beginning of the podcast, you mean back in 2010?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he's closer to that 50 number, and that's when, you know, the conservativeness starts coming in.
No, it's called the awakening.
No.
What the world is really like.
It's called getting old.
It's what Eric said, it's all shit.
It's all shit. Why would you expect something good to happen?
Exactly.
Anyway. Oh, boy.
But, yeah, I mean, the kid. But, again, though, that's the thing that's interesting about this film, is that our two villains are created rather than born that way, I think, which is interesting. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think. It's like,
and Santa was the tipping point, right? The big tipping point. Like, he hadn't killed anybody yet until he got to Santa, and it was like the Walton Goggins, you know, that's where it was for him, and same with the kid. They both resented Santa.
Well, and the whole thing about Santa was a little mysterious, because at one point when the skinny man shows up, and says, "I'd come for your head, Fat Man." He says, "You think you're the first? Do you think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly?" which implies that he didn't always have the job. But then later, it's kind of, I mean, would we all agree that it's shown that Santa is immortal?
Yeah, pretty much. Because the elves kind of say it because we live forever because of our diet and sleep ability, you know, the abilities mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And Santa is a little different. It's because he's a jolly good soul or whatever the elf says.
Giving, you know, keeps him going.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe he got those abilities when he took on the job, and
I was going with it, Barrett.
Yeah.
did he get bestowed immortality when he took the job? And if Santa's immortal, then what happened to the Santa before him?
Yeah.
Did he retire or
Well, maybe enough damage can take them out, like if his head was chopped off or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a flesh wound, right? I mean,
it's just a bullet in the fucking brain, you know, no big deal.
Oh, I got shot by some punk kid by a shotgun.
He'll shoot your eye out!
In fairness, like Ralphie, there are people who have survived getting shot in the eye.
Yeah. True.
Well, and...
So that is another thing that's sort of left open to interpretation.
Yeah, and it also implies that other people have come to kill him, and they didn't make it either.
Right.
But it does make me want to know, that's the great unanswered question, and why we need Fat Man 2, is why did he get the job?
Yeah. We need a prequel.
Prequel, because we want Gargan.
Well, I mean, you could do it like you could answer that question in a sequel. I don't know that I need a
full-on sequel. We need Gargans. You need Gargantz. His character.
You need to settle down.
Dude, Gargantz was so.
This settle was down,
best,
Phil.
Best characters I've ever seen in film.
Didn't somebody say something about a boner earlier?
Yeah.
I came for your head, fat man.
We'll just,
yeah, that takes on a whole new connotation.
I think there's someone. I think someone's coming other than Walter Goggins.
Christmas is coming early.
And wow!
It was just a great role, dude. Without God, that was what was great about the film. I liked the film. If he wasn't in it, it would just be. Yeah, I'm sorry, but Goggins was awesome. Because he played it so, like you said, Eric, Mike, everybody, he plays it straight the entire time. Like the baseball bat scene, it's like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, I think there's probably a lot of actors that could have done very well with this part. I think, but Goggins, this is certainly something that's right in his wheelhouse, is playing this kind of a character. So, yeah, I think, I mean, he did a great job. I don't know that he's completely irreplaceable. I don't know that I want to see the same movie again with these characters. Mm-hmm. I do kind of like the idea, like I said, that the ambiguity of this film and this, you know, there's a lot of it throughout, and we've mentioned that. But that, again, that opens up that question. Why did you get that job? What did he do? Right. What were the skills? He's a man with a particular set of skills.
Yeah. How long has it been? You know, like 500 years, or it's just been 50 years?
Yeah. Was it just like, you know, did he do it after he lost his acting gig? What happened?
It's good questions. It's good questions. Well, yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, hey, if it's either the Holm brothers or Jodie Foster, and he's got a Rolls, so he'll be fine as long as he stays with these folks. And
well, he's apparently directing Lethal Weapon 5, so
good for him.
I'm guessing they said, well, all he did was make some racist comments. He didn't sexually harass women, so they can let him make movies again.
Well, I don't know if technically I think it's called religious slurs,
anti-Semitic, and yeah, I don't blame anyone for what they say when they're drunk, because there's all sorts of shit that you'll.
Well, and can't we all be forgiven for things that we've done that were stupid? Because if not, then I'm screwed.
No, not anymore.
Done some really dumb shit.
Well, better believe it from the internet.
You know, and it's certain people have obviously forgiven him. Like Jodie Foster has no problem. She brought him on and hired him for films, and these folks did and other things. You know, so I mean, he's a talented guy. He's got charisma.
He does good movies.
He does good movies. I never liked him until Signs. Prior to that, I never was like a fan of him. But then I saw Signs. I was like, oh, this guy's good. And so I've liked him since. Obviously, that unfortunate incident in the back of a police car when he was hammered wasn't a good thing at all. But
and I guess his dad has history, so I guess that doesn't help either.
And so, well, see, and to me, that's you're raised in that environment, you're going to have a lot of that shit shoved in the back of your head, and that's like the underwiring that never goes away. And so, even though you learn better and you can rewrite, you know, write that in your head that's not right, you know, that's the stuff that gets stripped away when you get drunk. You know, and so, yeah, all the shit he was raised with, to me, it makes sense that it would come out then, because he knows he shouldn't have been doing it. It's, that doesn't mean how he necessarily feels. It just means, you know, he's all his inhibition about the stupid shit he learned as a kid, or maybe was told that hurt as a kid, came out.
I think the worst thing is that he was driving drunk.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
That's not good. Actually, you're probably right, Barrett, yeah, because that could endanger people's license. So yeah, that's a fair point. But either way, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess we had to bring that stuff up since.
Well, yeah, I mean, look,
we didn't. There. But it happens. So let's move on.
Yeah. I mean, look, Louis C.K. only got like what 5 years, and I think he's out on parole now, of Hollywood parole. You know,
because well, he's touring again, whatever that.
Yeah,
means.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he's doing that independently. He's not doing it with Hollywood. So.
Oh, but people are booking him.
Oh, yeah, but those are all small businesses. They're going to book him anyway. You know, it's Hollywood that won't touch him.
This isn't an argument worth having.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow. I mean, who's that Massachusetts comedian that you like, Paula Stone or something?
Paula Poundstone?
Yeah, she has some really bad stuff in her closet too. But you know, she still gets booked at the small venues too. So anyway, let's move on to to the film and not the people's personal lives.
Cancel culture.
Yeah. Stop talking about the cancel culture.
I felt like this film was like the perfect length, and the scenes didn't drag. It just moved right through, and the story was well told, and the acting was great. I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's the thing, is that it was directed like, and I don't want to sound hyperbole here, but it was directed like as if Martin Scorsese was directing it. Because it's a gangster film, a hitman film, it's played straight, there is comedy in it, but it's similar to the comedy that you saw in Goodfellas. Like, it's completely ridiculous. Like, Joe Pesci's character in that is like, what the fuck? And this had that. Basically, it was almost like they watched Goodfellas and they said, let's turn this Goodfellas into this ridiculous Christmas film.
Well, the Swing Man did have an edge to him, like he would snap at any moment. Like the scene where he's going through the obstacle course at the shooting range.
Yeah.
and the guy's like, yeah, well, I was hoping to knock off and go spend some time with my family. And he's like, well, you're open until 5 o'clock, right?
And you're being well compensated, right?
Yeah. Right. So let's run it again.
Right. And even if he said he wanted to say no and he wasn't compensated, he was still going to say yes because, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was terrifying.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. And the way Goggins did the range, it was like, oh my God, it was like he was really like in a situation. It wasn't like he was just doing it for fun. It was like nuts.
Yeah. I bet you he trained for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that, like running the sim, because like, does he expect? Like, is there like a standard arrangement where they place the bad guys in the building you're storming? You know, well, I understand like it's
his reflexes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Because I can't believe it's got to be static, right? Meaning that the bad guys pop out the same.
I would think. I mean, it's not like if I'm playing a video game and I die like storming the castle. When I reload the video game, usually the same people are in the same places the next time, right? So it makes sense to practice doing it that way, and you'll get better at it. I have to think, like, every time he invades a home, you know, you don't always have grandma in the same place.
Right.
No, but if you practice the moves, you're better at the moves.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're a hitman, let us know.
or if you're in law enforcement, that has done these things.
I mean, they do have training courses. I mean, like they show in Silence of the Lambs when Jodie Foster's training.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. It's true. What's the guy in the FBI says there? He goes, all right, you're dead. Oh, yeah, they did it in The Departed, too. He goes, you're dead because you didn't look behind the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Departed, which is Scorsese, by the way. There you go.
And, of course, being set in New England, you pronounce the name correctly.
That's right. I did. Yes. Departed. Right.
It's The Departed.
That's right.
Yeah, they fucked it. Yeah, they screwed it up on the poster because the poster says The Departed.
They left the H off.
Yeah. Well, that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
The Departed.
Yeah. And that's why Goodwill Hunting and The Departed are that's how people are supposed to sound. When I listen to other movies, it's like, they aren't sounding right. They're pronouncing things differently. I used to get, I being from Boston, all the girls I dated, most of the girls weren't from Boston, and they always ragged on my accent. Always. They say, could you say lobster again? Yeah, why? Lobster? And they just start laughing. They go, what? What did I say? You say lobster. You don't say lobster. And then
I'm getting in my car and going home.
Oh, yeah. The best one was I was in Alabama visiting a buddy. I came back, and my girlfriend at the time was from Texas. And I said, so I went in. I forgot my toiletries, so I went to an Eckerd's.
Texans don't even get to make fun of you.
She made fun of me because I said I went in an Eckerd's pharmacy and got some, you know, crushed or whatever. And she goes, could you say that again? Pharmacy? No, the the name of the pharmacy? Eckerd's.
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 They don't even exist anymore.
Repeat after me, Phil.
Yeah.
Walgreens.
Walgreens.
Yeah, see, there you go. Don't go shopping at Eckerd's. Go shopping at Walgreens.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, Eckerd's. She got a kick out of that. But, I mean, so I felt it was like a Goodfellas, a Departed type of film. I should have asked those directors when I asked. I go, yeah, did you watch Goodfellas? Well, of course they watched it, but did you base your film kind of like that? Because that's kind of how it was.
Well, you know, as far as directors to emulate, Scorsese is a pretty good one.
He sure is.
Sure. Yeah, I think you're going to find very few filmmakers outside the Hallmark Channel who were not in some way influenced by Scorsese. I should say contemporary filmmakers.
And Paul Schrader. I'm going to say Schrader. He wrote all the good ones. The Taxi Driver, man.
And here we go. How old were you, Phil? How old were you when you watched Taxi Driver?
10 years old. That was the best.
And I just picture...
You know when
I just picture in 30 years,
I don't know,
there's going to be a woman doing this holocast, and they're going to be with her friends, and they're going to be saying, "So how old were you when you watched Fat Man?" I was 7.
There you go. Yeah, that's not appropriate for a 7-year-old. Even though my 6-year-old would probably be fine with the film. Yeah, she would like it. But I can't show it to her because I would be considered a bad father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would be creating a stinker like that kid. I would be creating another Walter Goggins.
She'll murder you.
Eric takes great delight in that concept.
I do.
Well, and this is when the movie goes nuts, is at the end when Goggins gets there, and he just starts killing everybody. It was all, and he's bought with pipe bombs and
soldiers. That's why he was training on the obstacle courses, so he could do that shit.
And then the head soldier, we know, and he gets wiped out too. It's like crazy. The best line, there's a lot of great lines, but another great line of the film was when the kid calls and he goes, I need you to bring back to me Santa's head.
Yeah, that conversation is great.
It is a great conversation. He goes, well, that's going to be a problem. He goes, what do you mean? I want his head. He goes, well, I got to cross 2 international borders to get here. It starts molding. It's stinking. I can't do that. And he goes, all right, bring me his beard. And I'm not shaving a dead man. I just ain't doing it. I'll bring back his coat. Oh, all right, I'll take his coat.
Right. All right. So here's the topic. Here's the topic for conversation here. So, yeah, you hire a hitman to kill Santa, or maybe you are the hitman who kills Santa. You can't take the head. You can't take the beard. What are you taking as the trophy?
The hat.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I was thinking the hat. Maybe the sack.
The pipe. The pipe,
but
you're going to cut off his sack?
the pipe might not be bad.
That's hardcore, man. What the hell's wrong with you, Mike?
Hardcore.
That's awesome, Eric. Well done. I think you meant his toy sack.
That doesn't make
sense. Well, I'm sure he plays with it.
Oh. but yeah, the hat, the coat, the pipe, the little bell. Doesn't he have the bell or something?
Yeah.
I did enjoy in this movie how Santa likes to do target practice and beat up on his punching bag.
That was awesome. Yep. And he likes getting beers at the bar too. I like that. Or hot liquor. That's cool.
And just eats cookies constantly.
That's true. Yeah, he tries to steal cookies from his wife all the time. He has a P.O. box. I like that. So people can't find it. He goes, yeah, I have to have a P.O. box because, you know, there's a lot of people that try to come and, you know, what happens. You know, that's fucked up. Yeah, because he's got to have a lot of people that want to beat him up or steal stuff from him or whatever. He has problems just like everybody else. Yeah. And what else about Sam?
Well, and I really enjoyed just like the whole portrayal of Santa in this movie is so dark. It's really appealing to me. That it probably says something about me, but the fact that he's like so bummed out about what the world has become, and how kids are so shitty, and almost like just massive numbers of them are getting coal instead of anything else, because they suck so much, and that nobody appreciates Christmas anymore or what Santa stands for, and he takes it so personally, and then kind of gets his groove back after his encounter with the skinny man. I enjoyed the whole thing, and now he's going to be proactive now and let these shitty little kids know that Santa's watching.
Santa's pulling double duty. He's going to be Santa and Krampus. And
Krampus. Yep. Better watch out.
Yeah, he's going to be the real deal now. He's not going to just, you know, and I guess be a defeatist.
And in fairness, Santa gets his groove back before Goggins shows up to a degree. Like, he gets his Christmas spirit back because of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, he was already there, but I think he would have been a happier, friendlier Santa and less of the Silent Night, Deadly Night Santa that you got at the end.
But I like that one better. We've seen enough happy, friendly Santa.
True.
Naughty!
Punish!
Strumpf.
Works for me. Yeah. I like it. So, he's a pessimist. He's become a realist. He's been burned too much by the world.
He now realizes that people suck.
Yeah, he does.
It's like Eric is Santa.
Ho, ho, ho. Oh. Fuck off.
That'd be awesome. Eric is Santa. Fuck you. Yo, thank God you'd be like Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, and man, Santa. Shit.
Awesome.
Yeah, you should do your YouTube show and do this movie and wear a beard. Wear a Santa outfit. That would be awesome.
Eric, this would be a great film for you to do on your YouTube. I agree.
Yeah. Maybe someday that will happen.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I know the best way for you to get subscribers is doing a whole thing where you're saying fuck Christmas.
Yeah, I'm sure nothing bad could happen.
No, that would pull me in.
Nah, I've already got my Christmas lineup set.
Yeah, and the thing is, Eric doesn't hate Christmas. He hates people. There's a difference.
Well, I hate both.
Yeah, but
Christmas is people. It's people.
Christmas is made of people.
Oh, everything is made of people.
What the hell do you think is in the eggnog?
But the thing
now,
is...
working retail for over a decade ruined Christmas for me.
Oh, right. Jeez.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, we got to go out to the store and murder people to show how much we love them.
Right?
Well, I get to make the feast. That's always fun. And I like feces? To see the feast. And then the kids... The two daughters all excited is kind of fun.
You mean like the roast beast?
I don't do roast. Actually, that's not true. I did roast beef, and I always do a pork loin, a giant pork loin with a cranberry sauce. It's really good. And then I did a roast beef, so I did both together. So maybe I'll do that again this year too. Yeah, it's good. Good, good. I'm glad we're talking about this. This reminds me to get a small roast beef. I that's a good movie, The Grinch. That's our Boris Karloff.
That's a classic.
It's a TV special, but yes.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. My mother always was proud to say it was Boris Karloff. That's Boris. She was a huge Boris Karloff fan. She loved Boris Karloff. He was a good man, Boris Karloff. Let's see, what else?
I don't have a whole lot else to say about this movie.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? Anything?
No, I'm pretty much done with this. I think we got way more out of the discussion than I thought we were going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, a lot of good quotes, and stuff. But I like the scene when the military comes to him to make the deal, and the woman has to read all this crap and try to use public relations to try to make him feel good and stuff. I don't know. It's just good. It's a good scene.
I like where they come to him to try and get him to do it again. He's like, this is a 1-year deal. And they're That's like, right. you know you're going to need money next year. It's right. going to happen again.
And then one of them, he says, I know a lot about you. And like, whoops. Yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah. But yeah, I know. That's the terrible thing. He's going to have to do the deal every year because what are you going to do? You know?
Well, no, maybe if he gets his shit together and gets these little shit turds in line, he'll be able to deliver more gifts, and that'll get his income flowing again. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have to continue working for the military.
Yeah, I think that's the hope.
That's the hope, yeah, because right now he's part of the military-industrial complex, and he doesn't like it.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't like it.
So get those little shit turds in line.
Yeah, exactly.
Go, Santa, go.
But yeah. So let's talk about it. So Goggin's character is pissed at Santa because Santa wouldn't get him new parents, is really what it comes down to. And Santa says they couldn't do anything about it. And Goggin's could have right then said, yeah, you're right. But instead he goes and tries to shoot Santa. That was unbelievable when he shot Santa in the head. It's like, holy shit, yeah. He's dead. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I was not expecting that, to be honest with you.
Well, it wasn't just shoot him. It was literally gangsta-style shooting, you know? And that's the thing that's awesome about Goggins in this, is he's not a James Bond villain. He's a gangster. So you got him down, and you just walk over to him, and you blow his brains out. Boom, done. And there's no speech. There's no none of that crap. He just finishes the job. And then Rose shoots him, and he says, all right, I got to go take her out, too. So it was like he was Anton Chigurh. That's the thing. I love these sociopath serial killer characters. That's it. I just discovered why I like Goggin's character, because he reminds me of Anton Chigurh and Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. These are the best characters in film. Or Travis Bickle. I love these characters.
I wonder why.
Cersei's. These characters are the best.
I wonder why Phil identifies with these characters so closely.
Because, I don't know.
Because there's
the mystery.
They're just strange to me. They're like out of my wheel.
Are they though?
You know? And so they're very interesting. They're very way out of my wheelhouse. It's like interesting. You know? It's like James. What's that author that wrote Come Back to Me, Mike? That we both commented on his Wrath. James Wrath, whatever his name is.
James Rath White?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So he wrote on Facebook saying that I'm not a good person because I've had all the terrible thoughts that we see in these evil characters in movies. We all probably have. However, I try to be the best person I am, and I try to be kind always. And me and Mike both said, you know, like, yeah, true or something like that under his comment. And it's horrendously true, because that's why humans are that way. We play violent video games, the whole movies, like violent culture. Even if the
you could almost say that people suck.
Yes, exactly. And so when you see these psychopath characters, for me anyway, it's just interesting. I like them because they're weird. And they're in fiction, so it's not like, you know, you see it. All I have to do is look on the news and you see the real ones. But it's just, I don't know. Anton Chigurh was the best one, I think. And this guy, Goggins, is right there. His character is awesome. Anyway.
That character, Phil?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. That's weird. Is like,
and who plays the part?
Walton.
There you go. Oh, we made progress tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? I think it's the vengeance. I like characters that want... Well, though Anton Chigurh had no vengeance. He was going by principle. So that was pretty cool. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just talking smack now. So anything else anybody want to talk about?
Nope.
All right, sounds good. Nope. So I guess we can get into our final thoughts. But before we do, maybe we can discuss some news and maybe other things that we've been watching or whatever. So I'll start. I don't usually start because I usually have nothing. And I still have nothing when it comes to watching anything. But I've been playing a video game because I was kind of disappointed with Far Cry 6. And so I decided to move on to a different game that I bought months earlier that I never bothered playing until about 2 weeks ago. And that's Resident Evil Village. And Resident Evil Village is a direct sequel to Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. And that was a pretty good game. That was a damn good game. This game here, Village, even though it has a silly plot like most video games where, you know, like B-movie nonsense, the game is awesome. This is the game of the year. Resident Evil Village is the highest recommend I can offer since Far Cry 5 or Fallout 4. It has awesome villains. It's humongous.
That's what she said.
Oh, bump. It's interesting because it's non-linear at first, but once you complete the first there's four non-linear parts where you have to go and fight basically a boss. And once you kill that boss, you go out and head back into the village, and then you have to go and fight the next boss. But once you fight the second boss and finish the second boss, then the village itself opens up to be a sandbox too. And has awesome monsters. You got werewolves, you got vampires, you got mermen that, you know, like mutant mermen is pretty awesome. And then you got Chucky dolls. So it's just really good. And the atmosphere is awesome. The set design is awesome. It's interesting because you have your village, which is like this rural like Ozark type place, but it takes place in Eastern Europe, Romania. But then you go enter Lady Dimitra Mescu's castle, which is the vampire woman who everybody probably knows who's seen any advertisement for this film. And she's awesome. And her three daughters, that's the vampire. And it's a giant Gothic castle. And then the Chucky dolls is in this mansion. And then the merman is this reservoir. And then there's a steampunk part, which I haven't got to yet, which is the fourth one. And so you have five different type of environments all in one. It's just kind of awesome. So high-res recommend. I don't know if anybody else has played this game. I know you, Barrett, you said you haven't. I'm sure you probably haven't, Eric, because I know recently you haven't been playing video games. And I know, Mike, you don't play as much because of time, but I was curious, since this game is now six months old, have you played this one yet, Mike?
No. Kind of how, like, you bought it when it first came out and then haven't played it.
Right. Yeah.
So I learned that I can either buy a game when it first come out for $60, $70,
indeed,
not play it for a year and then play it, or I could just wait the year to buy it in the first place and get it for like $20 or $30 on Black Friday. And oftentimes with all the DLC, because it'll be the Game of the Year edition, because someone somewhere will call it the Game of the Year. So, yeah, it just financially makes more sense. Actually, what I do want to do is, I've been wanting to, but time has really kind of sucked the last couple of weeks, is play Resident Evil 2, because I never actually played that.
Oh, the remake version of it?
Yeah. I had started it, and I never, like, really got anywhere. Yep. And then with the movie coming out, I had kind of wanted to finally, you know, get around to doing that, because I played the hell out of Resident Evil 0 and Resident Evil 1 on the GameCube back in the day, and Resident Evil 4 and 5. I was not that thrilled with 6. I played through 7 once, and I thought that was okay, but I wasn't really willing to do that again. But anyway, well, so I kind of like to fill in the missing chapters,
well,
I'm suspecting.
Yeah, go on.
I'm suspecting you're going to end with blowing up a giant monster with a rocket launcher.
Indeed, it's always that way. But yeah, this one here, 8, they've been calling Resident Evil 4 merged with Resident Evil 7. And I would concur with that. That's a good comparison. So you get all the awesomeness of Resident Evil 4 with the atmosphere of Resident Evil 7. So that's pretty cool. So yeah. So that's all I got. So Resident Evil Village, I recommend. What about you, Mike? You got anything you wanted to bring up?
I did want to bring up. There's a movie that I liked a lot as a kid that has disappeared.
Taxi Driver.
No, I didn't see that until I was in college. That had disappeared on the home video market for a long, long time, and now Shout Factory, Scream Factory is bringing it out, and that is the
Alligator.
Alligator. Yeah, go ahead, steal it from me. Yes, that's Alligator. it is available for pre-order. It's actually available for pre-order. Not only it just has skipped the Blu-ray and gone straight to 4K. With Robert Forster, the late Robert Forster. So I've said if you want to keep the media around, you gotta support them, and they're delivering a thing I've been wanting for years. So I know I could wait for a sale, but I ponied up the full $40 for the or whatever it is for the set from Shout Factory. Think I'm going to get the poster for that comes with it if you like early order, but it's I think it's also got the TV cut, which I don't know how that's different, but anyway, so if anyone's a fan of that film, that's there. But it's also a reminder to go and support your Shout Factory, Scream Factory, Severin Films, Vinegar Syndrome, Arrow Films. These companies are keeping those physical media alive. Yeah, Kino Larva, they're giving us, shit tons of extras on their videos. Eric, you were just watching Krampus the Naughty Cut.
Yep.
Right, so which is another one from Scream Factory. That's did you got the 4K, I assume?
I did.
No, so there you go.
Nice.
So, and then other than that, I've been rewatching Better Call Saul. And it is still an awesome show and still highly recommended.
All right, that's good. Let's go with you, Barry.
I just finished I Know What You Did Last Summer.
You mean the TV series?
Yeah, the TV series.
Where's that located on?
It's on Prime. It's a Prime show. I enjoyed most of it. I didn't like the end. It's okay. I liked it better when I first started watching it, and it kind of went downhill after about the 5th episode for me. There's 8 episodes, I think. Other than that, I don't really have much to report.
All right, sounds good. What about you, Eric?
I got a couple things. I discovered a show on HBO Max called Very Scary People, and it's basically like a true crime type of series about serial killers. Hosted by Donnie Wahlberg, oddly enough. I've been watching that. I'm most of it's stuff I already know. So I've just been like having it on the background while I do other things. But I didn't know a whole lot about John Wayne Gacy, before I watched this thing, cause I had no idea how many people he'd actually killed. Apparently they found 33 bodies, and that was news to me, and I was like, that holy shit, that's a lot of dead people.
That takes commitment, man. That's good for him.
So if you're into that kind of thing and have HBO Max, you can check that out. The only other thing,
do the episode on podcasters?
I think that's next year. Yeah, so I've been rewatching a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not going to list all that off, but I did watch a new film from this year called, I don't know how to pronounce this correctly. I think it's Titane. That's how I want to say it. Titane. It's a French film. And this is, okay, everybody's always talking about how nothing's original anymore. If you're one of those people, I dare you to watch this movie and say it's not original. Because there is some weird stuff going on in this movie. Phil would like it because it's got frontal nudity. However, the nudity gets less fun as the movie progresses. I'm just going to warn you there. I can't even describe this movie. It is so unlike anything else I've ever seen. There's some violence. There's some body horror. And there's something else I've never seen, nor do I want to see again ever. I'm not going to say what it is because it would be a horrible spoiler.
I brought it up as a possible topic. I think it was one of the week you weren't there, Eric, and Mike nixed it.
It's out there for sure. So if that sounds like something that might appeal to you, go ahead and check it out. But it is different on a level that I can't even describe. Unlike anything else I've ever seen. I gave it a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd because I didn't hate it, but I don't want to watch it again either. So take all of that as you will. If you want to watch a weird, whacked out movie that's very original, check it out.
And the name again?
The episode?
I think it's called Titane. It's a Titane.
It's I think, is it French language or is it Dutch language?
I don't know. I know it's directed by Julia Ducournau, also directed the movie Raw, which I actually really enjoyed, even though I'm generally not a fan of cannibalism films.
I think it's a Dutch language film.
She's French, so
yeah,
I don't know.
It could be French then. Yeah, basically what it is it's a Belgian film. And like a lot of Belgian films, they're either in French or Dutch because if half of the country is Dutch and half the country is French, so Flemish and Walloon. And the Walloons are the French and the Flemish are the Dutch. And so, yeah, I don't know which it is. And I forget what Raw was, but yeah, Raw was a very weird film too. And this is her follow-up film, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's made with skill. And it's really original. But some people are probably going to be watching it and just be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was my general reaction, too. So
I haven't seen the film, but when I was trying to pump it up as a potential episode, I said, yeah, but Mike, it won the big award, the Palme d'Or, whatever, at Cannes. And Mike said, that makes it less appealing. I go, well, I tried.
But yeah, nobody will ever accuse the movie of being unoriginal.
No, I saw Raw. I liked Raw a lot. I'm definitely interested in the film. But at the time, we didn't have a whole lot of information about the film to know whether it was going to be one that's worth doing or not. Like in terms of like, was it really dark discussions material? But, you know, it's,
it is.
I kept asking, what was it about? And you said it won an award. I said that you know,
Well, the thing is, even if I were to try and tell you exactly what the movie is about, you'd still be, huh?
Isn't it like Cronenberg's Crash or something like that?
Both of those movies have been used to try and describe this one, yes.
Okay.
Although I still don't think it's completely accurate. It's just weird.
Right. So Crash is one that they've tried to compare it with.
And what was the other one? Crash, actually.
Yeah, I haven't either.
At least not that one.
Yeah,
the smalty one.
I did not like it, but that was just me.
Yeah, but either way, I heard it's a very weird, artsy, horror type sci-fi weird film. Would that be accurate?
This is I can't describe it.
What did Dan and his wife like it?
I didn't watch it with them.
Gotcha. Probably a good.
I tried to get Dan to watch it to me because I wanted company for the experience, but he made me play the trailer. And after seeing the trailer, he noped the fuck out. He was like,
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Anything else, Eric?
Nope. That's it for me.
All right. Yes, I think that's everybody. So I guess we can give our final thoughts on Fat Man. But before we do that, Eric, I mentioned someone named Dan a number of times in this episode. You do another podcast with him?
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled A-S-K-A-N-C-I-T-Y. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Fair enough. And we got to bring Dan back as a co-host. So next time Mike's not around, we should do another.
Dan's a very busy man.
Yeah, you got to keep Dan away from me.
But if it's a Von Trier film, I bet you he would join us. He would join us.
Perhaps. But he's a very, very busy man.
Indeed.
He spends about 100 hours a week running his gym. So,
yeah, small business.
Would want to be on a podcast right now.
Yeah, small business. It's tough to do a lot of other things when you're on a small business.
Yeah.
Because you can't even trust other people to do the job for you because
they'll fuck it up.
That's right. So he can still do a Askancity though, right?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. So everybody should check that out. Mike, me, you, and Eric do another podcast.
Yes, we do.
And what is that, Mike?
Oh, that podcast is Cinema a la Carte, where we discuss...
You're the worst, Mike.
See what you did there.
Where we review movies that are not necessarily Dark Discussions material. We just finished doing a movie Eric has been harassing us to do an episode about about a decade now.
That's right. And we loved it.
And we were all so enthusiastic about doing it that we like dragged our feet for about a year to record that episode.
Yeah, it was. We unfortunately had to talk a little bit about an elephant in the room and that, and I was also having freak attacks,
which we wouldn't have had to do if we'd recorded it when we were supposed to a year ago.
That is true.
We've also reviewed films. These are not exactly all necessarily wholesome films, although we did review Disney's Inside Out, and we did Flash Gordon, but we've also done things like Hostiles and Stalit and Jack Reacher and
A History of Violence, Collateral.
So we cover a wide range of things, but all pretty much movies that one of the three of us has really likes and wants to talk about.
Yeah, we rotate choosing titles, and Mike has chosen the next title, and after that is Phil, and we need to the next one and get to Phil as quickly as possible, because at this point Phil has texted me like 17 different titles. He's like, maybe I'll choose this one
Well, and then Mike said Robert Forster tonight. And you know, when we were talking about something, and I go, "Ooh, Jackie Brown." I've been like going nuts and bothering Eric with like 20 different films. What about this one? That could be an awesome one.
He's like, "What about this one? What about this one?" Eventually, I was like, "Why don't you just text me the title of every movie ever made and cover it all?"
IMDb.
So we do that, and we'll at the end of this we'll discuss if there's any time to do it before the new year, but it may not be possible.
May not happen.
Yeah, we may have to wait until January because it's only less than 3 weeks, about 3 weeks away. So we'll talk about it at the end of this episode. Sounds good. And Barrett, me and you and a number of rotating co-hosts do another podcast.
Yes, the Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. The last movie we did was The Spore, and we are going to do The Behemoth next, or Behemoth.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll do that one. A couple of indie rejects of Dark Discussions, basically. So we'll do those. And the next episode, by the time people hear this, will already be out, and that'll be the interview with Tara Violet, the director of photography and cinematographer for the film I Without a Face.
Great interview.
It was a good interview.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Interview with the Vampire, and I was like, whoa, that's going back a ways.
That could be a good film to do. I'm sorry, Eric. So that was a good interview, and that'll be the next episode released. That'll probably be coming out Monday, or the 13th, or Tuesday, the 14th of December, so people already know about that by the time it comes out. Tomorrow will be Halloween Kills for Dark Discussions. So again, all these will.
Oh, that hasn't been released yet?
Yeah, I purposely held it off intentionally because there was like everybody was doing all the Halloween reviews, like 25 different podcasts.
It's yeah, because like, people wanted to hear them. Wanted to
hear it then. Yes, that's because that's when people are searching for it. So Eric, not Eric, Phil, I would suggest waiting until around January 11th because I think that is when Halloween Kills comes out on 4K.
Oh, interesting. All right. So maybe I won't release it until then. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
More like, you know, like right before or immediately after.
Mike's the marketing guy.
What's that?
I said Mike's the marketing guy.
There you go.
I like to sell myself.
So we can get into our final thoughts on this film here called Fat Man from 2020. And I guess we'll start with you, Barrett.
I really like this film. I think it's fun. Great acting, great plot, and it's a non-traditional Christmas film worth watching during the season. It's pretty violent, probably not for the kids, but it's a great film.
All right, sounds good. Let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, look, it's a fun film. It's got a little bit more to it, I think, which we like, than maybe it's just on the surface when you dig. They don't spell everything out for you. Again, I enjoyed that. Mel Gibson is always still a compelling actor, whatever else you think about the rest of the stuff going on with him. And Walton Goggins is always a blast. You have murder and death in Santa Claus. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, sounds good. For me, this film is really good. I enjoyed it tremendously. It'll be a film I'll probably revisit every year at least once, probably around Christmas time, just for the fact that it's quote unquote a Christmas film. The movie has great acting. Both Goggins and Mel Gibson are absolutely phenomenal in this film. There's a reason why Mel Gibson is an Academy Award nominated and actually a winner for director, I think, and Best Picture. There's a reason for that because he's awesome. And Goggins once again proves how great of a actor he is as well. Highest recommend that I can offer. Everyone should see this film. Both Kevin Letts and Christy, who could not make tonight's podcast, I told them, even if you don't make the podcast, definitely see the film because the film is a really good film. Eric.
Yeah, this movie is fun. It is a very dark humor, but played very straight. I would recommend it as a dark Christmas movie.
And I definitely recommend it for anyone who has a partner who makes them watch Hallmark movies unironically.
Absolutely.
This can be your revenge.
Indeed. So this film, Fat Man, directed by Esham Nelms and Ian Nelms, who, by the way, were both great guys. They're really fun people, love movies, love creating, enjoy making the film so people will be enjoyed and happy to watch it. And so they're really good folk, at least based off of my interview with them with Leo and PJ Rahel from the Indie Spotlight podcast, which can be found on the Dorkening Network. I don't know what episode it was, but it was from last year, back in like November or October. It's written by them, again starring Mel Gibson and Walton Goggins. And the film can be found anywhere movies are found, whether it's disc or VOD rental or VOD purchase. And that's pretty much it. So check it out. And with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Let's just talk about Fat Man. Come back next time. We'll have another topic.